Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you, singing Alleluia, Alleluia.
Welcome to the Go and Teach Bible Study broadcast presented by the Monte Vista Church of Christ in Phoenix, Arizona. I'm Ken Leach, preacher at Monte Vista, and your host for the next 30 minutes or so. The great prophet Isaiah once said, "Come, let us reason together." That expresses well what I hope to achieve on these radio programs. The text of our lesson this morning is the same as the text of our lesson last Sunday morning. Lord willing, this morning we can give attention to the second half of a lesson that is entitled Loving God. That concept is brought to us by Mark in his Gospel, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 29. "And Jesus answered him, 'The first of all the commandments is, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind, and with all thy strength. This is the first commandment.'" Last week, we devoted our time to studying how man loves God with all of his heart. We also noted that we are to love God with that depth because he is one Lord. He is one God. There are no other gods before him. We looked last week at the fact that when man loves God with all of his heart, there may be times when the relationships that he has with his own relatives become strained, if not broken. We read Matthew the 10th chapter, verse 34 through 38, and saw an illustration of that kind of commitment. We also noted how Abraham showed that kind of unfeigning love for God when he went with Isaac up the mountain to offer his only son, the son that he loved, as a sacrifice to God. We read that touching account from Genesis, the 22nd chapter, verse 1 through 13, and we noted the love of Abraham, how he indeed loved God with all of his heart. We also noted last week that there may come times in this relationship that God demands that you and I may have to give up some of our possessions. We saw what Jesus said in Matthew the 19th chapter and verse 29, considering putting God first, considering the putting back of those material things in order to inherit eternal life. We noted the ease that comes in letting our priorities become skewed, the ease in which sometimes Satan wins his battles over us as we devote more of our attention and more of our love to our possessions rather than to God. We saw how dangerous it was to lie to God about our commitment. We read in Acts the 5th chapter, verse 1 through 11, the account of Ananias and Sapphira who lied to God concerning their contribution. We also last week studied about loving God with all of our heart and how that might involve giving up some pleasures, those sinful pleasures that separate us from God. We saw the willingness of Moses to give up that kind of pleasure as we read Hebrews the 11th chapter, verse 25 and 26. We noted that the pleasures of sin tempt all men. And while the pleasures certainly tempt man, they are temporary in nature, while the love of God provides a permanent, joyous, and everlasting relationship. We noted what Paul said in Romans 6 and verse 23, where succinctly he put it, "The wages of sin is death." Last week we noticed that to love God with all of our heart, it may mean giving up a little prestige, a little honor, or a little fame in the world in which we live. We noted in John 12, verse 42 and 43, how some of the chief rulers had put the pressure on themselves not to confess Christ because they didn't want to get kicked out of the synagogue. It says they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. The same problem was manifest long ago with King Saul, as he just hated David because David was liked and praised by the people more than he was. Prestige, we noted, is a dangerous thing. You and I should have the attitude of Samuel, and that is, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth. 1 Samuel, the 3rd chapter, teaches that. We ended our lesson last week by asking the question, why should we give up relationships with our relatives, our possessions, our pleasures, our prestige? Why should we be willing to give those things up for loving God? And the answer now is the same as then. The answer is because God gave His Son that you and I might be saved. John 3 and verse 16. We should be willing to give up those things in our love for God because Christ gave Himself up that you and I might be saved. Ephesians 5 and verse 2. When we think of loving God with all of our heart, we naturally think of the cross, don't we? And the great price that Jesus paid on the cross. We ended our study last week by reading Hebrews 12 and verse 2 and Philippians 2, verse 7 and 8, that has to do with that great commitment that Christ made on the cross for us. Today I'd like to address the rest of that initial passage that we read. That passage from Mark, the 12th chapter, verse 29 and 30. When does a man love God with all of his soul? Certainly that refers to our life. When does man love God with all of his life? And the answer is, when we employ in our lives, with all the comforts and conveniences that we have, when we employ in our life a top priority to the service of God. Jesus said in Luke 12 and verse 15, take heed and be aware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. Indeed, a message that rings out throughout the ages. You and I need to keep our values. Jesus said in Matthew 6 and verse 33, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all those things shall be added to you. I want you to consider, if you would, the rich fool of Luke, the 12th chapter, verse 16 beginning. That evidences very well the point that we're making considering commitment to God with all of our life. In Luke, the 12th chapter, beginning in verse 16. You have your Bible, please turn there with me. The Bible says, and he told them a parable. The land of a certain rich man was very productive, and he began reasoning to himself, saying, what shall I do, since I have no place to store my crops? And he said, this is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns, and I'll build larger ones. And there I will store all of my grain and all of my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have many goods laid up for many years to come. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your soul is required of you, and now who will own what you have prepared? So the man who lays up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. Whose name is on your treasure box? The things that you're putting away for the rainy day, do they include God? Is God first on your list of priorities? Did you notice how many times the word I and me was used in that passage in Luke 12? did you notice that after the bigger barns were built and the bigger crops were stored, that the man was planning to retire? It says that he was planning to take his ease. And how did God respond to that? He said, "You fool." How does God respond to us when we use our possessions to get to a point in life where we can retire from worshiping God? When we can retire in our attitude toward God? When we can retire from the service to God? His response would be the same to us today as it was then. "You fool," God would say. Are we willing to be deprived of comforts rather than to dishonor God? Will I endure suffering if suffering is that which comes as a result of me being a Christian? Will I be willing to die for my love for God? Do I have the courage that Daniel had in the 6th chapter of the book of Daniel? Would I be willing to face the lions? Would I be willing, as those Hebrew youths were, to face the fire, the fiery furnace, rather than to succumb to pressure of man to get me to do that which God is not pleased with? They loved God with all of their souls. That's what propelled the Hebrews into the furnace. That was the motivating factor of Daniel when he faced the lions in that den. It was loving God with all of his life, with all of his soul. It is a true saying, you and I have a cross to bear. Jesus said, "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." Matthew 16 and verse 24. Luke adds something to that passage in the parallel text. He says it's a daily thing. That is a consistent thing. You and I must live our life consistently by denying ourselves, taking up the cross of Christ, and following Him. That answers the question, when does man love God with all of his soul? Well, next, when does man love God with all of his strength? We've seen now how man loves God with all of his heart and all of his soul. Here's a new aspect to the study. And the answer is, when man exerts all of the powers that he has, of body and spirit, in the service of God, when he holds back nothing from his dedication and work for the Lord. Paul said in Romans the 12th chapter and verse 1, "I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service." I want you to note there that bodies are essential in the service to God. What about our bodies? What about our person? Do we take care of them? Do we do those things in life that diminishes our capacity of service to God by abusing ourself, whether that be from illegal drugs or misuse of prescription drugs or habits like smoking and drinking that take away from our ability to do those things that God would have us to do? How about us? Do we take care of ourselves so that we can be of service to God? Let me tell you the difference between the worship service in the Old Testament under the law of Moses and the worship service in the New Testament as dictated by God. In the Old Testament, those who wanted to worship would go into their flocks and they would choose an unblemished animal. They would select that animal and they would take it to the temple where they would give it to the priest. The priest would receive that animal and sacrifice it on the altar to God. And then when that sacrifice was done, those that brought the animal would leave the temple going away having worshiped God. The difference between that and the way God expects you and I to worship is almost absolute. You and I go to the throne before God. You and I go before God in our worship and you and I are the sacrifice. It is you and I that climb atop the altar and sacrifice our entire persona, our entire being, to His service. We don't walk away having worshiped. We are the sacrifice. We are a continuing sacrifice to God as it relates to the life that we live. That's what the Lord is talking about when He said in our original text that we should love the Lord, our God, with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind and all of our strength. That's why it is the first commandment. Loving God with all of our strength involves sharing or sparing no labor or no cost to glorify God. That's what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 58. Note those words. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, forasmuch as ye have known that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. In other words, that coincides perfectly with that which we read from Ecclesiastes 9 and verse 10. I should serve God with all of my might. That involves work. It involves activity. At times, it involves inconvenience. It is a work that proves our love and shows our faith. In James 1 and verse 25, the Bible says, But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, not being a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. That's a positive statement. That tells us what it takes in order to be blessed in our deed. What is the negative side of that proposition? The negative side is those that do not work will not be blessed in their deeds. In James 2 and verse 18, the Bible says, Yea, a man may say, Thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show you my faith by my works. Indeed, an interesting statement. How do those who believe in faith only being the answer to salvation deal with James 2 and verse 18? We must all work, for the night is coming when man's work is done. There'll come a time, my friend, when you and I breathe our last breath. The only way that that will be avoided is if Jesus Christ comes to earth before we pass from this life. The result is the same. You and I will stand before the Lord in judgment. We will stand to give an answer for the things that we've decided to do while in the body, whether they be good or whether they be bad. Our answer will have an everlasting consequence. But that answer is not something that's developed and given at judgment. That answer is developed through our life of loving God with all of our heart. That answer is developed right now while you and I have opportunity to be obedient to the commands of the Lord. Well, finally, how does man love God with all of his mind? And the answer is, when we apply ourselves to know God, when we apply ourselves to know God's will. How do you and I learn what God would have us to know? The answer is through study of God's Word. Paul said in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15, Study to show thyself approved unto God. That means to be diligent. We must be the kind of people that spend time, quality time, with God's Word. Peter said in 2 Peter 3 and verse 18, Grow in grace and in knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. How well do you know your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? There's only one source of information. How well do you know God? Again, there's only one source of information. We can go out and we can look at nature, and we can see things that are so marvelous that they could not have come from man. They come from a power higher than man. We are in awe when we look at the beauties of nature. But we only learn about God through His Word. We cannot look at nature and see therein passages of Scripture that direct us. Jeremiah said, "It is not within man to direct his own steps." I would also suggest to you that it is not within nature to direct the steps of man. And while you and I, through a knowledge of God developed through a study of His Word, can appreciate nature, and we can appreciate it even more by knowing its source, and our love for God coincides with the emotions that we have when we see those handiworks of God that He places for mankind's benefit and enjoyment. But I would tell you, in order to love God with all of our mind, we'll not be able to accomplish that by just looking at God's creation. We must spend time with God's Word. We must study God's Word. It's sad, isn't it, when a Christian doesn't apply himself to study? If you fall into that category, let me suggest to you that there's a passage of Scripture that you'll be interested in reading. It's found in the 5th chapter of the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, the 5th chapter, beginning in verse 12. Listen carefully if you're the kind of people that does not devote themselves to study. Though by this time you ought to be teachers, you have need again for someone teaching you the elementary principles of the oracles of God. And you have become to need milk and not solid food. For everyone who partakes only of milk is not accustomed to the word of righteousness, for he's a baby. But solid food is for the mature, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern good and evil. How can you discern good and evil? How do you know how to react to situations in life? How do you know how to act when Satan puts temptation before you if you do not spend time with the Word of God? You can't. You're just as exposed and just as vulnerable as a baby is in the physical. A man loves God with all of his mind when he receives with gratitude and with submission and with pleasure the sacred truths of God's Word. Solomon says in Proverbs, the 3rd chapter, verse 5 and 6, "Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." A man loves God with all of his mind when he forms no plans, when he makes no projects without giving thought to God and His Word. Man loves God with all of his heart when he doesn't take a vacation away from God, when he doesn't seek employment that excludes God, that doesn't live in a place that precludes his regular worship for God. Man loves God with all of his mind when he looks for and sees God in everything. I close our lesson together, this two-part lesson concerning loving God, by sharing with you Psalms 139, verse 7, beginning. "Where can I go from your spirit? Or where can I flee from your presence? If I ascend to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in hell, behold, you're there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. If I say, surely the darkness has fallen on me, even the night shall be light about me. Indeed, the darkness shall not hide from you, but the night shines as the day. The darkness as the light are both alike to you." Indeed, the majesty of God. Let us go forth, loving God with the whole man, with all of our being, with every ounce of energy that we have. It will not be in vain. Thank you for listening.
Oh, Thank you for joining me today. If you enjoy Bible-centered study, why not come visit the Monte Vista Church of Christ? We're located on the west side of 40th Street between McDowell and Thomas Roads. 2202 North 40th Street is our address. We have Bible classes for all ages each Sunday morning at 9:30 and each Wednesday evening at 7. Everyone interested in God's revelation to man is welcome. We also assemble for worship following our Sunday morning Bible classes, and then again on Sunday evenings at 6 o'clock. Until next time, this is Ken Leach, hoping you have unlimited opportunity to let your light shine for Jesus Christ. Amen.